Generation X. This is Justin and Bradley with Gen X Reverb. We are not joined by the cousins, Ken and Mark, but today is Thursday, February 22nd. This is an X-Winging It edition of Gen X Reverb. Welcome, everybody. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Justin. How are you, buddy?
Man, I just got done eating a nice steak, New York strip, some nice onions. I actually cooked some sweet onions from Costco. They're like $3 a bag this time. Got 2 bags of those sweet onions. What you do, listeners, when you make these on your grill, you slice them in half, peel them, of course. You put them in some foil, individual wrapped foil. You make a marinade, like very simple. Olive oil, salt, pepper, paprika, chili powder I used last time, not this time, and any spices you like. And then just pour it in there. Pour it inside the foil with the onion, the round onions in there. You pour it in there and you wrap it up real good. Put that on the grill. Let it cook. Let it cook slow for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Pull those onions out. Man, they're great. It was great.
Onion funk.
They're always great. onion funk.
Like words that have multiple meanings, man. This type of funk is the good funk. Onion funk.
Yeah, yeah. George Clinton and P-Funk. So this is an X-Winging It episode, basically a hot takes. I really wanted to talk Bad Batch season 3. I don't think all four of us are going to watch that in its entirety. I'll let the other fellas correct me on the next episode or whenever they want to. But I don't feel like everybody was as excited about season 2. How do you feel, Bradley? Was everybody?
I don't think Ken is as vested in Bad Batch as we are per timing. He's choosing to put on his plate different things from the buffet. And I think Mark and little Wookmaster Bryson are digesting it together. So they have a nice little Wookiee son relationship going on with Bad Batch. So they're getting to it when they get to it. As for me and my household, yeah, we actually stomached season 2. I did like it.
You said stomached?
Yeah, we stomached it. I did not like the arc. I did not like the filler, which is problematic in Hollywood anyway when it comes to series. They have filler episodes, and this was chock full of filler episodes. Didn't progress the plot. And Omega, I appreciated her, the animation. But again, as is just a tired old thing that we keep saying, I don't need more girl power in my life. I don't want real life agendas. Great, great role model. You know, good morality compass that she's given to youngsters, young women in particular, I think she's being marketed to. But I can't remember the names of each of the episodes, but I didn't like the arc. And the very final episode of season 2 with Sharpshooter Crosshair. There we go. Bullseye.
Bullseye. Crosshair. I can't say it correctly.
Crosshair gets on my nerves. He's smug and he's undecided now that he's with the Empire, blah, blah, blah. Sorry about that. Spoilers always ahead with Gen X Reverb. But as far as season 3, it's a 3-episode opener, you said, just?
3-episode opener, man. I fell asleep after the second episode booted up last night, but the first one was like, whoa, what do we have here?
Okay.
I was feeling it, man. I was feeling that. Sorry if that's a spoiler to people, the fact that I liked episode 1 of season 3.
No.
But yeah, I finished episode 2 and I finished episode 3 today. I'm going to let you keep talking, Brad, but I definitely highly recommend the show at this point.
Right.
I feel like they actually are tying some things together. Even if, I mean, obviously with everything in the Star Wars universe for Disney Plus for now, we know We know what's going to happen. It's just like you're just telling us a backstory. And as we have stated ad nauseum many times on this very podcast, we already know the ending. So it's up to Disney to, with Dave Filoni and the team, Jon Favreau, to give us a good story and not waste our time. In my opinion, in my assessment, they have not wasted my time with the first three episodes.
That's good. Okay, that's heartening. I believe me and Honey Crunchers will be watching that together after this podcast. I'll go in there and we'll pop on some Disney Plus. We definitely, I want to say, we enjoyed watching it together. So that's, to me, is the thrust, is making sure you're using these episodes or whatever you're watching as a vehicle for growing your relationship with your loved ones. So me, it's one of me and Tracy's good little happy places, you know?
Right.
Yeah. If that makes any sense.
And just a quick little time. Yep. That does make sense. And just a quick little time out. If you get back off your mic, just a smidge.
Smorge.
I'm hearing you sound like, oh, that's perfection right there, okay, man. You were sounding like you were in News Chopper 36.
This is Ernie Forgan Boggin. News Chapter 3.
I said chapter.
News Chapter. News Chapter Copter.
Chapter Copters.
There's not much to hot take about there. I'd love to go into a, you know, tirade about Disney, but we're not going to do that. I think we said that two episodes ago. We're done talking about.
I think we can, you know, do the direction in a. Just say what you have to say and move on. So you're speaking your mind in the sense that you only are here for good story simply because we already are at episode 9, Rise of Skywalker. That is where the Disney Star Wars universe is currently at, temporally speaking. That's the furthest we've gone. We've gotten to that point. So everything before that doesn't necessarily need to be touched. Does that sound accurate?
Very much so. And anything that they got coming, it's got to have a great story. So obviously the Jude Law stuff, I forgot what that show's called. The Acolyte, I think.
Oh my goodness.
Looking forward to that, because Jude Law's a great actor.
He's wasted.
Or a good one.
He's wasted, because if The Acolyte is during this same time period, then again, I have a level of disinterest, just like with Ahsoka, because it's like, this is all just fan service for a lot of people. You're not really progressing the story. So taking an actor of Jude Law's caliber and just wasting him on a TV show, he needs to be in a theatrical release, if you ask me. Put him in a theatrical release. That's where Jude Law
should
be.
That's like a wise, sage character.
Can Jude Law be a Jedi? Can he learn the Force?
Mm-hmm.
And can he be on another planet? And haha, you thought you were the only Jedi, huh, Rey? Nope. I've been training Broom Boy. Me and Broom Boy have been training together here on Canto Bight. I got him out of the squalor of the stalls of... What are those things?
The stalls of Casino Planet.
Canto Bight.
Kajimi? Canto Bight. There you go. Yeah. Out of that horse track where it looks like where our dad used to go when he was younger and go bet on greyhounds.
Like on Ocean's 11.
Yeah, Ocean's 11. Yeah, yeah. Saul was the guy that Rusty Ryans went to go recruit from the racetrack. Yeah, so exactly. Same exact setup.
5 years, by the way. I wanted to say 5 years.
Oh, man. That just, you know how you sometimes burp up a little something that you just did not like the taste of that you ate? You did. That's what just happened. Just like a little bad taste of episode 8.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay. You know what? Just, I have a bone to pick with you three. You three vagabonds.
Here we go. Listeners, here we go. Bradley's take.
5 years, man. They're one of the best Star Wars creatures because they look nothing like an Earth-like creature, but they also don't look grotesque and weird. They just mm-hmm. follow the same format as horses or deers or moose, and they're likable. And I don't see how that doesn't hit. Did you want them to look strange and crazy like some of the people inside the casino, or you just didn't want a scene like that? Is what you're saying?
No. I was not. I don't have any problem with Fathiers.
Oh, okay.
It's just when you say the word Fathier, it reminds me of just that movie.
Gotcha. Just,
you said Broom Boy, and for some reason, Broom Boy didn't trigger me. It did not trigger me. But when you say Father Years, it's like, it makes me think of, you know, and again, as usual, and I'm pretty sure so many podcasts out there say that they, you know, there's nothing against the actress who played
Kelly Chan,
Poe's girlfriend,
Rose Tico.
Yeah, nothing. Ugh, Rose Tico, man. It's like I've had a nice break, a nice hiatus, but here we go.
Finn's we're back girlfriend, again to by episode the way. 8. But go ahead. And not even his
Did
girlfriend.
Did I say Poe?
You said Poe, but it's okay. Everybody understood
what I sarcastically said girlfriend. Yeah, exactly. Hey, by the way, man, and this is me and Bradley, we're brothers. We're twin brothers. And so we make fun of each other constantly. So I got to go back, man. You sounded like you were from the islands, man. You said Star War. Y'all want to say, hey, man, you've been watching Star War.
Star War.
Star War.
Star War.
Yeah, man. It's a good thing, man. You've been watching Star War.
Yarr.
Man, come on over here, get some jerk chicken. We're about to put on Star War.
Yeah, Star War. Man, I love that show, Star War. All right.
Island Breeze with Star War.
And that's why I love this yellow boy bagging on me.
Yellow boy, red man, red man.
Red man.
Islander people call all light-skinned black people red men, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Out there in listener land.
Fast fact for you. A fast Caribbean fact that you probably didn't know. Now you know.
All right. The Caribbee.
Hey, so speaking of that accent, right? I've never seen Pirates of the Caribbean, but that's one of Disney's biggest franchises. It's a big moneymaker, and it's one that I don't get the draw of, but Ryan George of Screen Rant has done a very good job of truncating those movies like he does with all of them with pitch meeting. So Disney is a behemoth. They've got IPs like Pirates of the Caribbean, right? To pad their pockets, and they're going to kind of always keep trying to throw out more of those, because I think that's what he was kind of making fun of on Movie Pitch Meeting. They're terrible. They're getting more terrible, but Disney is still banking on them. Lone Ranger, all these IPs that they could just keep making. So I connect that back around to what you were saying about the Bad Batch, my desire for who was the actor? I'm sorry. In The Acolyte.
Jude Law. And I still have to type that in to get some facts. I have a question for you in a minute, though, by the way. But go ahead. We're talking about
Just making it
Disney
simple.
Milking and adding all kinds of movies that we don't need.
Yeah. Well, they're banking either way. They're winning, so just try to. Yeah, I'm not saying anything new. I'm just going back around to say, hey, you have all these other franchises. Can you please just leave this one alone? Let it breathe. And let's go ahead and get a new theatrical release going in a way that the fans want. But that's a different podcast. So going back to what you're saying, yeah, Bad Batch, I'm looking forward to enjoying that. What were you going to say about Jude Law? You're looking up some fast facts. You have a question for me?
Well, I do have some information in front of me about Jude Law. I'll get into that in a second. Or excuse me, not about Jude Law, but The Acolyte, Star Wars. But we were talking about Father Years earlier, and I want to port that back over to a different animal from a different universe that I think is really cool. Man, my voice cracks a lot. Sorry about that, listeners.
Yay! I didn't even hear it crack.
Puberty. Hi. the guy from The Simpsons. Hey, sir.
Okay, so what animal from what franchise? Please don't don't say it.
What?
Go ahead.
No, I need to know what you were going to say before I say what franchise I'm going to talk about. Go ahead.
Well, okay, we could talk about it. We have respect for Star Trek, but there's like this unspoken.
No.
Okay, so it's not Star Trek. It's
Out. Yeah, nah, get out of there. Furbles or Furbies or Gerbils, what are those things called? Man, nah, we're done.
Sir, I protest. I am not a merry man.
Star Trek, man, you're a different feel. Okay, let's get that taste out of
our
mouth.
Sorry about that.
Moving over to... No, you're fine, man. Moving over to one of the franchises that has actually supported a piece of the backbone of Star Wars, Jim Henson's world, Dark Crystal.
Oh.
So, yeah, Jim Henson, his buddy, all his buddies, his cronies, including Frank Oz being the main one, his right-hand man, he was in a major part of Star Wars by playing Yoda in episode 5 and episode 6. Return of the Jedi, or excuse me, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Everybody knows that. I'm stating facts. Like, these listeners don't know these things.
And episode 8 with the Fathiers. Don't forget.
No, so that wasn't Frank Oz, though, was it? Was it Frank Oz who played?
I'll look it up. I think it was Frank Oz. You keep going with the animal from Dark Crystal is who you're talking about.
So I just thought I need to know the name of this animal, and that's why I'm stalling. I'm over here scrolling.
All right. So while you stall, what we want to type in, and I'll just do this live so the listeners know what I'm doing. Star Wars Episode 8 Yoda voice. Enter. Frank Oz. Yep.
Frank Oz did it. Good.
Ozzy.
Good.
Yeah. So we've got episode 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 8. That Fozzie's been. There you go.
Fozzie. I like that. I forgot that Fozzie Bear is a call out to the fact that Frank Oz voices him. Fozzie. Cool.
Ozzie. Not to be confused with Mozzie.
Ah, Mozzie from
White Collar. Not to be confused with Mozzie.
Yeah, Mozzie. Oh, I clicked on the same link. You know how you click on the same link when you're looking for something after you've gone back a page, but you click on the same link again?
Yeah.
Man. I don't even think that's a boomer thing. I think that's everybody does that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm all patting myself on the back.
Hey guys, I did not perform a boomer action right there, okay? Just want everybody to know.
Yeah.
Breaking news. Just,
disclaimer. No boomer. That wasn't a boomerang. Can we call it a boomerang? That's what we'll call it from here on out.
Boomerang. Boomerangs. You just performed a boomerang.
All right. Anyway, the one I thought was cool was the animal that they ride. Oh, Landstrider. Finally found it. Landstrider.
Landstrider.
It's a funny looking animal, but it's a cool looking animal. It's a fantasy animal. Has really long legs like a giraffe, but its body is its head, basically. And was it two people? No, I think it was one guy running in there. I forget how they did that, but it was awesome because it was all live action. The Landstrider, no CG, whereas the Fathiers are CGI. What do we say, CG or CGI? Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so here, I'm gonna link you up here, Bradley, so you can just get a.
I'm taking a look at them right now. I just typed in Landstrider, yeah. So I'm looking at it, and it's got that look that is kind of reminded me of our childhood. That kind of struck fear in my heart a little bit, but you could see the art direction. I think the same guy who came up with Yoda was the guy who did a lot of the puppeting and modeling for the Dark Crystal, the artwork, I think.
So the artwork is definitely only because I have some friends of mine that are Dark Crystal, Jim Henson nuts. I can tell you from just off the top of my head, and I'm proud to say it's the Frouds.
The Froud.
I don't know his first name, but Froud. And it's him and his wife. They did all the artistry for the Dark Crystal. Type in Froud. And it's amazing. It's like, dude, a couple. Uh-huh. They came up with all of that wonderful lettering, graphics. They came up with the aesthetic.
Yeah, the whole art direction. Yeah. It's got that like medieval feel to it. Interestingly enough, I don't know if I said this on another podcast, but the painstaking amount of effort, like kind of bridging it over to another TV show, just to show you how, well, at least for me, I really appreciated Loki season 2. I watched the behind the scenes, I forget what they call them, on Disney Plus, and there was a guy who made a book that was so many pages long with all the specifications, the parameters with which everything on the set needed to fall within for the artwork. And if you want to watch that on Disney Plus, he expresses it better than I just did. But you can tell that that's the unspoken thing that your eye is catching. You're like, man, what is going on with this artwork that makes this show so consistent from beginning to end? There's no deviation from the flavor that they want. And that's kind of the same feel with the Frouds that you're talking about with the Dark Crystal. So that's good.
Yeah.
To have a consistent art direction throughout a film, or really
technically for me personally with Star Wars, do that throughout the entire trilogy. Like, don't deviate if possible. And I think Lucasfilm has done a good job with not deviating from there.
Yeah. Through the nine-tilogy.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Nine-tilogy?
Nine-tilogy.
I don't know. They probably just coined that word, and it's a dumb word, nine-tilogy. Anyway, all nine movies, definitely, they reached back, and that's pretty much one of the best things about Disney Star Wars is that they respected the aesthetic of the original movies. Let's give a shout-out to, I mean, there's all the guys from ILM. Were you just talking about ILM?
Today or right now? No.
No, right now.
I was more specifically talking about a particular guy who I can't remember what his role was on Loki 2.
Loki. Sorry about that. Sorry, listeners. I wasn't listening to my brother. That's normal, though. But go ahead, Brad.
No, that's it. But to your point, not ILM, but ILM had to do the same thing. I think you're pointing towards like sound direction with like Ben Burtt or...
Ben Burtt, not just sound, but I'm talking about the original ILMers, I forget his name.
Yeah. The guy who did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
You know, all
kids.
Those guys.
Yeah, Joe Johnson.
Yeah, all those guys from the documentary. Everybody go to Disney Plus and just watch the documentary on ILM, Industrial Light and Magic. They did the same thing you're talking about. They had that one guy that painted all of the backgrounds that me and you never knew were backgrounds.
Absolutely.
Until we saw that. Because his painting
Out City
was amazing. The guy who's the guy that was kind of shaky because he had that sickness, that same thing,
Parkinson's.
I believe it's Parkinson's, but and he definitely died. He was in the documentary, the George Lucas documentary, the one that's still on Disney Plus.
Right.
The one who did all of the artistry before Star Wars even began.
Oh, Ralph McQuarrie.
Macquarie.
Yeah.
How do I forget Macquarie's name, man? That's terrible of me to do that because, obviously you can see he was trained on, I believe it was aerospace. He had aerospace training and he just translated. And when you do aerospace drawings, you're super accurate. Everything is scale.
He worked for Boeing.
There you go.
He did the 747 jumbo jet. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Justin says he drew diagrams for a manual or constructing the 747 jumbo jet. So he did the manuals. Yeah, man, I did not know that.
He did it for the jumbo jets. Jumbo?
He actually, and it goes, I'll just read directly from Wikipedia. This is actually a cool shout out for Ralph McQuarrie because I only think of C-3PO and Cloud City, you know, all of his awesome paintings, which by the way, I have to figure out. Where are those paintings? Who owns those original
Who
paintings?
Who owns them?
And how much are they worth?
Lots.
Correct. Yeah, like the Starkiller, the initial McQuarrie's concept for Darth Vader, where you have Starkiller, which, by the way, in the Skywalker Saga Lego Star Wars video game on Steam, you actually can get Starkiller as a character. It's pretty cool, man. It's a callback to that picture. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, just Google it. McQuarrie's concept art of Darth Vader. It's a really cool picture, but just reading directly from Wikipedia, it says here, as well as designing film posters and animating CBS News coverage of the Apollo space program at the three main company, Real 3. While there, McQuarrie was asked by Hal Barwood to produce some illustrations for a film project.
Mm-hmm.
He and Matthew Robbins were starting, blah, blah, blah. So I guess that's where he started with more film and whatnot. And then let me just make my font bigger because I have this on microscopic mode. Connecting it back to Star Wars fans, it says the young filmmaker George Lucas was impressed by McQuarrie's work and met with him to discuss his plans for a space fantasy film, Star Wars. Lucas sought visual reference material to support his pitch to film studios. Just like in the documentary, remember he had to go to Fox and all that good stuff. So he used those pictures.
Right.
And purchased pieces of science fiction artwork by John Berkey. Don't know who that is, but I can learn later. In 1975, Lucas commissioned McQuarrie to illustrate several scenes from the script of the film. McQuarrie may have been inspired by some of Berkey's works, in particular a painting of a rocket plane diving down through space towards a gigantic mechanical planet, which for the 70s is like, wow, right? I mean, they already had all the Edward James Burroughs, Barsoom, John Carter of Mars. It's crazy. Flash Gordon.
Zoom.
Yeah.
That was that. John Carter is way back there.
John Carter
came up with John Carter
all the way back in Tarzan days, man. When Edward Rice Burroughs wrote Tarzan, which is a whole nother
Edward subject. Rice Burroughs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which last thing I'll say, I have a book on my Amazon reading list that I have not completed, called John Carter and the Gods of Hollywood. It talks about why John Carter bombed at the box office. It's really insightful. In a nutshell, what I've read so far is basically the marketing was not there. It was being marketed at the same time. It was released at the same time as Avengers and Hunger Games. And being that John Carter came from Disney, it should have dusted Hunger Games, because I think Hunger Games came from an independent film studio, which was, I don't even know what it is to this day. Keeping it simple, going back to what I was saying, these guys were all inspired by the old school stuff, the pulp fiction and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, jumble of thoughts. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, it's a jumble of thoughts there. And we appreciate that. Again, let's remind our listeners, this is the X-winging it version of Gen X Reverb. So we're not going to be as polished as our previous episode, Tron 1982, which we enjoyed very much recording for you guys. So we hope you guys liked that episode. Please give us a shout out if you liked it on Facebook. I did want to go back and do a little cleanup on the Frouds. Brian Froud is the main animator that Jim Henson hired. Brian Froud, pronounced Brian Froud, because he was born in England.
Yes.
He's British. I don't know if he's British or if he's British. I don't know which one. I never heard his voice. So,
yes.
Winchester, England is where he was born, 1947. And the dude is just gifted, man. He's just gifted. And I don't really need to. I'm on the Wikipedia page, but I'm going to spare you guys the reading of that. Check that out if you guys want to. Brian Froud. And then there's books at the library. And I said library. Oh, you know, the only reason why I said that is because I saw a Dark Crystal book at the library, Brian Froud's illustrations. But go to Barnes & Noble's and go buy it. And by the way, third places from our last episode. Stop going to Amazon, everybody. go to the bookstore and hang out. Get your third place on.
How beneficial is that for Barnes & Noble's, though, if all I do is go in there and read and then never buy the book and just take off? Because that happened a lot back in the 2000s for me.
It's not beneficial to them. It's beneficial to them for the other. There's a percentage of people who go in there and don't just drink water. They buy one or two or three coffees.
Okay. And they're also books too.
Yeah. Sudoku, puzzle books, the less expensive, you know, $5 books, $3 books.
Puzzle Masters, $3.99.
I think, sir. I bought it. I gave Barnes & Noble a fair share of my money, through coffee. Me and my friend, Devin, you know Devin,
mm-hmm.
our friend, Devin, we've met there a couple times and sipped on some coffee. And Borders, for sure. Was it Borders on Mill Avenue? Mill Avenue, ASU?
Yes.
Arizona State University? Okay, so that Borders, I have purchased probably 10 or 12 CDs from them. So they're good. I don't feel sorry for them.
Yeah, yeah, no, I don't feel sorry for them. Your third place comment about Tron 1982, absolutely great. We need to have less phones and more face-to-face interactions. I do want to say this before I forget. Justin and Mark and Ken and me were laughing about how I commented on Tron 1982 that... why can I come up with names right now?
Clue. Bridges, Codified Bridges. Likeness Utility.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges. Yeah. He played himself in the real world, but then Clue was also his avatar or whatever, his analog, his program. And it's just so funny the way he sounded, like, yes, sir, turning left, turning right. But then when you go to Tron Legacy, Clue is completely evolved. There's no goofiness in Clue's voice. And so it's so interesting. They're both standalone films in a sense, but just the humor that's like, hey, Clue, you don't sound like that. That's all.
So yeah, without getting too deep into Tron Legacy, which we're going to review as a band of cousins, the four of us. Maybe Karen will join us. Maybe some other guests will join us. But anyway, not getting too deep into that. Yeah, bro, he went down a bad path. That's why he was a goody two shoes at first, which is good. You know, being a square is good, man. A happy square just there to do his job. But Legacy came, man. He was he things went wrong for him. So we'll dive into that.
Can I wow you? Would you like to be wowed?
Hey, there goes Mon Mothma. So Mon Mothma, in this depiction of Ralph McQuarrie, her hair is not red. It is black. Chewie is huge, by the way.
Yeah, he's ginormous, bro.
Yeah, that does not look like Carrie Fisher, but it does look like Carrie Fisher. And that definitely looks like Mark Hamill and, you know, a version of Landel Kerizian. 100% Akbar, but that's cool. That's Ralph McQuarrie. That has to be like the franchise was already built. So he was rocking and rolling on that photograph.
He's rocking and rolling. But Justin, yeah. I want you to not knock anything. I want you to wow our listeners with the price of this bad boy. Now, this is just a concept art. This is concept artwork featuring Admiral Akbar, who, as Justin has reminded us many times, was taken out of our lives too quickly by Ryan Johnson. We got Mon Mothma, Nian Numb, which is Lando's buddy in the Falcon. Lando Calrissian.
True Star Wars fans know who he is. True. No, go ahead, man.
No,
Nian Numb.
This thing is fully operational. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead, my bad.
We sounded more like the Akiyaki people, the Akiyaki Festival, which, by the way, the stormtrooper on the forest moon where the Death Star fell, that actress's name is Naomi Aki. And I just realized, did they just call that planet, or they call the people Akiyaki because of her? That's cool. Like a little shout out.
This is a shout out to you, Naomi. Okay, sidetrack. Let's get back over back to this picture.
Stay on target.
It's called Plan of Attack by Ralph McQuarrie. We're going to link to this here so you all can see it. But Bradley, you're asking me.
What's the price?
We see the price. It's clearly, the price is $915. I don't even know, Bradley, this is not an original. This has to be a copy of the original.
It's that's what it says. It's a concept artwork. So this is a copy. It's limited edition. They've made 25 of them, I think, if that says edition size, 25. Image size, 18 by 40. Man, I don't think any of our listeners would be irritated if they somehow won this. Like if we put our little chips together, if we put our Beskar and our Republic credits together and we purchase this as a podcast.
Yep, no more. Don't purchase any Spotchka. Just stay off the Spotchka for a couple of weeks and put our Republic credits together. We may be able to afford this.
Let us know, listeners, on Facebook or Instagram or anyway. Just hit our website up, genxreverb.com. Let us know what you think about this particular painting. Would you want to win this as a prize? As an incentive for a contest we may or may not make. Man.
And leaning heavily on the may not side of that statement.
Because, yeah, I'm over here taking credits out of Mark's pocket. Man, I'm taking his Republican credits and his...
Man, you're going to be diving into your Chase Sapphire rewards points, man, to get this thing, man.
915 simoleons, man.
Let's explore this website here, man. Disney Art on Main Street. Okay, I don't need Attack on Taco Donna. I'm good there. Let's go to some classic stuff. Imminent Danger. That one is dope. At the bottom, you see there? That's dope. That one is the Millennial. Millennial. Here I go again with that. Millennial Falcon. Millennium Falcon. Can you guys blame me for saying Millennial? Come on. This.
Millennial.
Everybody's
Falcon.
Been saying millennial for the last 10 years of our lives. Let's give me a little break there. The Millennium Falcon is speeding into the sunset past one of those buildings from Bespin. And so it's a beautiful picture. This one is $145.
And just for comparison, the size. Yeah. 13 by 19. Sorry about 13 that.
13 by 19. Yeah.
Can I also
That's
say
beautiful. 13 by
they're not.
Wait. Before you say that, 13 by 19, sorry about to cut you off, Bradley.
No, you're good.
Versus 18 inches by 40 inches, which is a panoramic of the plan of attack. for $915. Amen. So there you go. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. The latency is just something we have to deal with. And you didn't cut me off, man. I cut you off. I just wanted to say, notice how Disney does not allow you to see these bad boys in full resolution. Like, they're like, nah. You could buy it if you want to see it in full resolution.
Then you'll get it. And then you might be disappointed. You might not. But you're not returning it. We know that.
I'll take that. I'll take that. You said no Battle of Takodana for you, but man, Evasive Action. What is this one?
Evasive Action looks cool. That's $415, and it's also a panorama, just like the first picture. Who's this by?
These are all
Stefan.
Yeah,
Martinieri. Stefan Martinieri. I don't know who that person is, but this picture is dope because it's an X-wing fighter being fired on by two TIE fighters over a snowy ridge. Doesn't look like Hoth, because Hoth would be completely covered with snow. This is whatever planet it's on, but
yeah.
What are your thoughts, Brad?
No, this is just great. I feel like there is some cultural and artistic value in these paintings, cost aside. I'm thinking we are so appreciative because George Lucas found Ralph McQuarrie. Ralph McQuarrie agreed. We get all this inspiration. And then really, when you think about it, like what I'm looking at right now is a Star Destroyer over where they were in Rogue One, that scene with Andor and the main character. I forget her name. They're staring at, what's it? Jedha. The Star Destroyer over Jedha. And it just seems
I am with the Force, and the Force is with me.
Yes. Who is that? Imwe Chirrut.
The Force is with me, and I am with the Force, and I fear nothing.
That's probably inaccurate wording that I just used there, folks. But go ahead, Brad.
And so now I want to find one just to close this out from a TV show that really the closing credits, I think, formed our opinions of it greatly, with a musical. The music being a key part of it too. Goran, what's his name?
Ludwig Göransson for the that did The Mandalorian.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. So during the pandemic, when me and Tracy started watching The Mandalorian, first off, that song just blew me away. And then you get the artwork. Now, where's that original artwork at? For the ends of each of the shows.
Oh, yeah, that is awesome. 100% agree with you. The concept artwork that they play at the end of the show, first of all, that was an awesome call. But where is it? How much is it? You're not getting the real thing.
No.
You're getting a copy.
Yeah.
And if you do get the real thing, you're very wealthy and you're sitting in a bidding. You're bidding for that.
Like on Jurassic
for
World.
For large sums of money.
Where they were bidding for that one dinosaur with the laser.
Oh, man. Jurassic World, the one with... are we talking about the movie, the terrible one, with Monk's, Adrian Monk's boss?
Yes.
The villain?
Yes. That the terrible one. Yes. But we'll drop
Jurassic,
that reference.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie, but yes, like that, like bidding for something very wealthy. You got to be very wealthy to even be there. So cool, man. Let's see if we can find some more McQuarrie photos, though.
For sure.
Can you go by? Oh, there's a guy in here, Thomas Kincaid. Thomas Kincaid must be a famous.
Oh, Kincaid. Oh, yeah. He's the guy you see at the mall, man. He like has a big influence on real sunlight. Send me the link of what you're
painted.
Looking at.
Yeah, real painted. Sunlight, but actually painted by hand, and it looks like real twilight. That's awesome.
He's good, man. I love Kincaid. I wish I could. Yeah, here, just
I know what you're talking about. My brain is remembering that Fiesta Mall in Mesa had that. I think all the malls had him.
Yeah.
He was definitely in Fiesta Mall. There goes the. I just shot you over the link.
That's awesome, Rapunzel.
Rapunzel.
Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, you sent me one. A looming presence. One of the ships. Oh, you said that already. This is what you were talking about when you just said Jedha.
Oh, correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. He sent me a picture. It is a 13 by 19 inch photograph of, I don't remember the names of these characters. What's the main character
Andor
from?
Andor.
Oh, my goodness. Just slap me and call me a Star Trek
slap
fan.
Slap me and call me
why, shut my mouth and call me a Trekkie. Andor and Grayson. Or is it Grayson or?
I don't remember her name, man. That's terrible. In real life or the actress. Let's give her a shout out. And Rogue One, we're terrible. Right now, I can tell you that our listeners are like, we know it's Felicity Jones playing Jyn Erso. Yes.
Yeah, Jyn Erso. And I was right. Graylin or Galen or Erso Galen was her Erso. Father. Galen.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. Yep.
Mads Mikkelsen. One of his better performances. So they're standing on the cliff, basically, when they get ready to head into the town in Jeddah. Good picture. I don't know why I described it. We're just going to link over to it. Anyway.
Cool, man. And the Thomas Kincaid. I have to say, if I was going to spend my money on any of these, well, I'm not spending any money on any of these, but.
Yeah, that's exactly. If I was going to spend my money, Bradley, you're not spending money. That's it. You're done. Let's just end it there.
correct.
Bradley's the real life Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob.
Man, our brains are still so linked with Star Wars that as soon as you said that, I saw the mayor of whatever city that was in Rebels because he played him too. Mr. Krabs. Well, that was a terrible version.
In Rebels. Oh, that was him.
Yeah.
The guy that plays. But wasn't he the guy with the horns on the breakout episode of Mandalorian?
He was. Clancy
Brown.
Get
out of here. You already got a character.
I feel the same. Don't be double dipping, man. Unless you're...
Stop!
Snoke.
Ugh.
And what's his face from Andor?
I guess Kino Loy. Nah. You know what? You guys are wrong for choosing him. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're not. He's great.
Andy Serkis was a great choice.
Andy Serkis, yeah. Okay, we're in agreement. There are some actors and actresses that it's okay to double dip on them.
I have so much respect for Clancy, man. He can double dip. He just needs to get paid. He was like, hey, man, this house isn't going to pay for itself. I need some roles.
SAG benefits. Kenny's always saying SAG benefits.
Saggies. Screen Actors Guild, for those that don't know. Saggy.
Nope, don't give that. No, I'm editing that out. You guys go look that up. SAG. Okay? S-A-G. No, I'm kidding.
Saggy bottoms.
On these X-Winging It episodes, man, I don't know how much I'm even going to edit out. It's just going to get tossed up, and you guys are just going to like it or not.
You guys are going to enjoy it.
It's up to you. We hope you enjoy it.
No. You must be like Emperor Palpatine, and you must tell them, enjoy it. Do it and enjoy it. So interestingly enough, the thumbnail taking it back around to the Bad Batch, the thumbnail on Disney Plus has Palpatine. So clearly that's not really a spoiler because we know he's part of the Star Wars universe. So it looks like we're going to be able to expect him to make his grand appearance. Here's the thing. on Andor, honestly, that's really where I want them to show Palpatine on season two of Andor, because they're constantly in the Senate and they're constantly at this Empire thing, whatever place that is, where General Raditz or whatever his name is for the Empire.
General Zod.
Oops,
wrong universe.
For reals, dude. Get that out of here. Anyway, yeah, man. So I don't know, man. I am looking forward to it. Me and Tracy are going to get into that. Is there anything else that our listeners you think would want to hear about upcoming movies or Gen X, anything before we get out of here?
Yes. Since we already talked about Jude Law and we did not make good on that, let's talk about that now. So The Acolyte, Star Wars. This is from GameSpot.com. This article is from February 22nd, 2024. So it's recent.
Okay.
What's today's day? Oh, that's today.
Nice.
Okay, cool. It's brand new. It says the next Star Wars TV series, The Acolyte, will be here relatively soon if a news report proves to be true from Collider. So it should be June 5th. So it's coming. What it's about, we won't even necessarily need to even talk about that here, because you guys can just go to the link that I'm going to put inside the show notes here for you. Go check that out. See what's good. I'll just say this without reading anything else. I'll just say this. It says it's going to be. Where did I just read this? Basically a mystery.
Mystery thriller.
It's going to be a mystery thriller, which I love mysteries. I like thrillers. Thrillers are good. But mystery for sure. So you got me there. I'm in. I'm in. You in?
Yeah. You know, I'm always interested. Here's the thing, though, based on Acolyte and every other series on Disney Plus now, there's the little kid series that I saw last night. I just looked at the thumbnail and I'm like, what is this little kid stuff, man?
No. Little kid series. What are we doing here? What's going on? What's happening with that?
Yeah. Let's see. Let me log into Disney Plus and get the exact name.
Oh, no.
DisneyPlus.com.
We got to get these little kids out of here, man.
I'm telling you, Justin. And they're just
miniature. Get out of here. You're going to like Star Wars or you're not, okay?
Yeah.
Get out of here, chumps.
The Young Jedi Adventures.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, listeners. I'm kidding.
I'm over here like, oh, so was I. My bad. I'm all 100% agreeing with you. Yeah, get out of here. But it's. I can't say that this is any different from back in the 80s when they were making cartoons. The silly thing that you guys talked about that I still haven't watched, the holiday thing. How terrible.
Oh yeah,
the
holiday special. Yeah, holiday special. I only watched half of that. I had to cut out. We're only going to be able to finish that thing together as a group.
Yeah,
we're going to have to brave that.
Oh.
It's a listeners, it's a dry 2024 for me. I know that's nuts. Dry meaning exactly what I mean what I say. I'm not drinking any alcohol till January 1st of 2025. So that I say that to say I'm not watching the holiday special until I can have some spotchka.
And
so
just to clarify, when we say holiday, this is a made up holiday within the Star Wars universe. Just to be clear, is that correct? I don't know.
Yeah. It's Life Day.
Life.
Everybody
Day.
Come together for Life Day.
This is Life Day. Yeah. They even made reference.
Are you even a Star Wars fan if you don't know what Life Day is? Oh, come on, man.
Sorry, I knew. That was a trick question again. I'm 100% there with you. Justin is going to have a dry 2024. Bradley, by the way, meanwhile, is sipping on some wit. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, no whiskey for Bradley either.
Yeah,
he doesn't drink ever.
And that's okay. It's okay. Everybody do what they want. But I just wanted to say, yeah, Star Wars is really, let me stop saying Star Wars. Disney, Lucasfilm, with this Young Jedi Adventures. Let us know how you feel, listeners. I don't particularly want to get involved in that. It's too bright and cheery for me. I want that outside of
what's
my-
What's this thing called again?
Star Wars called? Young Jedi Adventures. Now, don't get me wrong.
Oh, that one. That's been out for like 6 months now. Yeah.
That's
a hard pass.
I keep seeing thumbnails pop up. Like, get that
stop
out of here.
Stop advertising that to me, Disney.
Yeah.
You think I'm going to click on that? I watched the very first 20 seconds of the first episode. I was like, okay, kids, turn this off. This is absolutely for the tiniest of kids. More power to them. If you throw Ahmed Best up there, I'll go ahead and start watching his show, the Jedi Double Dare show.
Oh,
that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that was on YouTube and Disney Channel, right? Before this all came out. Yeah, how come they don't have that on here?
Just put it on Disney Plus. I don't want to go to XD or YouTube. And I know why they said, Kenny mentioned that they put it on YouTube because it'll get more reach to the audience that it's looking for, which is kids.
Right.
If you put it on YouTube. Yeah, so that's cool. Very good for the kids, but, you know, whatever.
As an outro for me personally, I'll go ahead and be done. I just want to say, I'll tell you something hilarious about Disney Plus in my mind when we first got it. There was this one show in the top scroll, the very top scroll that they're advertising their top shows. There's this one called Free Solo. Free Solo. You remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we Free Solo? He's in carbonite. Free him. Free him already.
That's my point. Look.
Oh, that's what you thought? Is that what you thought when they said that?
Said Free Solo. I was like, hey, Star Wars, let's get started. And then when I clicked on it, you know, I examined the thumbnail. So I was like, wait, that's not Star Wars. But like when you see the words, you're like, hey, I'm interested, I think. But I was disappointed when it didn't have anything to do with Star Wars. It was about rock climbing, which is good. He's free soloing. He's risking his life really for, in my opinion, nothing. No disrespect, but don't kill yourself just because you need to be the first person to climb El Capitan in Yosemite, you know, on the bare face. That doesn't...
Oh, is that what that is called?
Yeah.
El Capitan?
Yeah.
Which is what Mac named one of their OSs off of?
El Capitan.
El Capitano. Mac OS.
I get so sick of Mac's naming conventions, man.
It's not worse than Android, but you're saying they should go with the classiness of the level that they're at, is what you're saying. Stop saying Mac OS Cougar Bots.
Mac OS Snow Leopard. they were doing lions and leopards and all kinds of cats, and then they changed over to parks and special places that anybody can go to El Capitan if that's what you want to do. Go climb that rock. Don't fall off, please.
Yeah, use some equipment. Live to see the
Ain't
next.
Ain't nothing wrong with using equipment.
Yeah, live to see the next trilogy. Don't die for no reason. Don't waste your life. But anyway,
hey, some people might. Based on that, some people nah. That's worth jumping off. The next trilogy, no thanks.
And also, you gave me advice. No, nobody tells me what to do. I'm climbing that thing tonight.
I'm free to solo.
Free okay. To solo. So I just wanted to say that to say when we first got Disney Plus, that lended to the hypeness, the hype machine. I was like, woohoo! Ah, not that.
Free solo. I was in theaters, and that preview came on in theaters at the IMAX. I don't know what movie I was seeing. It was probably a Star Wars movie. So I wasn't schnookered by that. They didn't bamboozle me with that one, man.
Free solo. Schnooked. Yeah. Also, hey, I honestly think we should all watch the Marvels. I liked it. Now, it wasn't the greatest movie, by the way, Justin. It wasn't the greatest movie. I'm not saying that. But it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad
listeners,
as... Yeah.
You can't see me squinting my eyes as soon as he said that.
Yeah.
You cannot see, but I squinted like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Is
Maybe not.
This guy talking about?
Maybe not.
No. For the cause.
For the cause.
For the cause. I love saying this. It has nothing to do with what we just said, but since I said for the cause, I'm going to say it anyway. Chicanos por la causa! Bradley's face was so confused when I said that. Chicanos por la Causa is an organization here in the Southwest. I don't think it's just in Phoenix. Anyway, that's how we got our first house. It's not just for Hispanic people.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Why did I just...
Chicanos por la Causa.
I just sounded like a DJ from episode 8. Sorry to keep making references to episode 8. Did you do that?
Yeah, that's a good little impression there, man. That was good.
Old man Snoke's boudoir. Hey, double dips. He was DJ and also the collector. Double dippies.
Two different franchises, though. That's Lucasfilm and Marvel.
Oh, correct.
We're good there. We're good there. I did want to say an honorary Mando. I wanted to give that honorary Carl Weathers. Now that we're doing impressions, man.
Yes.
Greef Karga, man. We're gonna miss Greef Karga in the ensuing episodes of
Mandalorian season 4.
Season 4. Yeah, we'll all pour one out. I won't be sipping anything, but I'll definitely we'll see if we can get a pour out on film.
Let me just pour out my lemonade here. Pour out my Sprite.
Pour out my smoothie. Pour out my Sprite.
Don't black people
pour out
drink
my charcoal.
Sprite. Pour out your Sprite.
Yeah, no. Old E, man. You got to pour out the old E for Carl Weathers, man.
Yeah.
Greef Karga.
Uncle Karga. We will, he will to me always be Uncle Karga because he spiced Navarro up, man, with gusto and glee. And like you said, Mando, like his voice is just like, hey, Pops, this is where the wisdom is. Let's follow Papa Karga. And season 3.
Hey,
man.
No.
Yeah.
Let me let you just get a quick correction in there, man. That's a high magistrate, Uncle Karga, to you, pal.
There you go. Yeah, that is honoring Carl Weathers, man, because yeah, he did say that to Mando. High Magistrate. Yeah.
Yes. High Magistrate. Yeah, his character was great. Carl Weathers in a billion different movies. Played in the NFL. What a career, man. I don't think we ever really talked about that on the cast. Did we really get into the fact that he died? And
no, we haven't. And I think that's probably best a side segment for all four of us, because Mark and Ken are much more qualified to talk about Carl Weathers' career from authentic,
agreed,
organic. They watched all the Rocky and all that stuff, man. So
agreed. I will definitely not disagree with that. Yeah, Ken and Mark, we look forward to you guys honoring Uncle Karga, man.
Uncle High Magistrate Karga to you, yeah, boy.
Yeah, man. It'll be good to hear you guys talk about that.
Something that the listeners should know about us, Justin, since we're already at about almost an hour, so we don't need to shave anything off. We'll go ahead and just keep pontificating at this point, is
they should know that we both like Spotchka. But we don't drink it.
Spotchka.
Oh, yeah. They already know that. Okay, cool. Yeah, go ahead. My bad.
Barrels of it. We want barrels of Spotchka. I almost forgot what I was going to say. Listeners, you all have to be aware that me and Justin are squarely born in 1978. We are Gen Xers. We're at the end of that. We have dishonored the Gaines family by not ever having seen the movie with Carl Weathers and somebody who I'm really not a fan of, but the Happy Gilmore movie with a golf. I don't think you've seen that either, have you?
You're confusing me by even talking about Happy Gilmore. Carl Weathers was,
bro,
he disgraced his career by being in a movie with Adam Sandler. Was that
iOS Cousin Chat? When they listen to this podcast, they're going to disagree with you 100%. He was in Happy Gilmore. I keep telling them that I am one day going to watch it. I don't know, man. I don't like Adam Sandler that much, really at all. The one movie that Adam Sandler did good in, to me, that his humor hit and it was a light and fluffy movie, was Bedtime Stories.
We've mentioned that on this podcast probably four or five times already.
Okay.
Yeah, we've already said that. The monkey on Night at the Museum, or Zookeeper.
Mm-hmm.
He plays, that's perfect. He's like drunken Adam Sandler. That's the monkey from Zookeeper. Seriously.
He's himself. So he's the voice?
He's himself. He's the monkey, but you don't know it's Adam Sandler till you get to the credits. I didn't know it was Adam. I was like, hey, Adam Sandler.
Hey.
So I liked him in that film as the monkey, the little chimp. Not even a chimp. He was like a
little capuchin.
Capuchin. Yeah. Like just like a Night at the Museum.
Little Bad Dates capuchin. Hey, Andy. Bad Dates.
Oh, Bad Dates capuchin from Indiana Jones. Yeah, man. I got to go back and watch one of those, man. Yeah. I think that's just something me and you definitely feel. Like, Adam Sandler is that guy that we're just always like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah. You're a hard pass, man.
He's strange. But see, here's the thing. It's not him. It's just the way he sounds. Now, this is going to sound offensive. Warning, listeners. I'm not trying to be offensive, but Adam Sandler sounds, and I know he's not, he sounds mentally, I can't come up with the right word. I don't want to say the word I'm thinking of, but he just doesn't sound
deranged.
He sounds retarded. He sounds
okay,
like,
but he's not, though. That's the thing. He's pretty smart. No,
he's not.
Guy.
I'm sure he's not. But I'm saying,
yeah,
he slurs his words, and I don't know if that's on purpose or if that's just him. And it's okay either way. The key is that I'm just like, nah, hard pass. I don't like his voice. Now,
yeah.
I don't know if we need to edit out that part that I just said, because some listeners might find that offensive. But just saying he comes off that way. Another comedian, just last thing I'll say, that a lot of his movies I don't like. Jim Carrey, I've never seen Ace Ventura. It's never appealed to me. That's just slapstick to the next level.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's those films, the Ace Ventura films. But you would definitely want to not watch them from the beginning. It starts up and then you just be like, okay, nope, not me. But his other films, there's been some other
hilarious
ones that pretty hilarious. Bruce Almighty. I know Cable that one was Guy. Hilarious, but which one was? I never seen Cable Guy.
That one's pretty
I know
good.
Mark's talked about. I liked Fun with Dick and Jane. That one was hilarious.
I like that too. Me and Tracy watched that, yeah.
Jim Carrey's actually special, though. He's actually a good actor.
He's Michael Jordan, man. of the comedian actor bunch. He's probably the best.
Let me go through real quick. There's going to be some listeners that are going to have to correct us. If you feel differently, listeners, please hit us up on Facebook. But let me go through my mental recesses of comedian actors. Adam Sandler's off the list.
100%. Now, are you talking about comedians who are able to play serious roles, but also play other roles that are comedic and still just...
Mm.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, they need to be comedians in films too, but still be funny and still act good. I think how many films is Bruce Carey in where he's serious? I don't know of many. Jim Carrey. There's probably a few.
Bruce is his long... Whoa. Long.
Did I say Bruce Carey? Bruce Carey? Bruce Bowen from the San Antonio... Bruce Wayne.
Bruce.
Bruce Boxleitner. How do you say
Bruce
his last
Box
name?
Leitner?
Bruce
Box
Leitner. There you go.
From Tron. Yeah.
Flynn! I always hear that every time I hear that. Every time I hear Bruce Boxleitner's name, Leitner, I don't know how to pronounce it again. Anyway, I always hear Tron in Tron Legacy saying, Flynn!
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
Man, we are going to have a good time podcasting on Tron Legacy. Okay, so.
Oh, talk about some upcoming episodes that we want to put in the rotation. We definitely. I think that Tron episode was for us, but it was also for, can we give a shout out to Bruce and Ashley Wilson? Oh, I forget if they, yeah, Bruce and Ashley Wilson, I think they said they like Tron. Forgive me if I'm getting that wrong. Bruce and Ashley Wilson, shout out, Chi-Town. They live in Chi-Town now, Chicago. So, see all your nice photographs on Facebook, Bruce and Ashley. Good job out there. Keep up the good work. They definitely want us to do an idea that we've had for a while, which is commercials from the '80s and the '90s.
Oh, and where's the beef?
Off the top of my, yeah. Where's the beef? I remember that one. That was a good one.
Kool-Aid commercials and stuff. Yeah.
Off the top of my mind. And cause I'm not reading it directly in front of me on Facebook. Ashley said that they were Ashley or Bruce. I don't know who it was. Said that, they were more entertaining. So. We'll have to get in there and corroborate that as a fact. As a fact.
I don't understand what you're saying. Who's more entertaining?
The 80s and 90s commercials. They're more entertaining than the commercials of today. And I'm just kidding when I say we'll have to corroborate that as basically saying, like, we're going to have to make sure that her statement, his or her statement is made true.
Yeah.
By us gathering facts. So.
Are you trying to tell me that I don't know what the word corroborate means? I am offended. No, I'm joking. I know what you're saying.
Corroborate. Corroborate. The definition is to go to Carrabba's and gyrate.
Gyrate on the dance floor to Italian music. Here at
Italian
Carrabba's.
Music, yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I heard a song that said that. I was like, what? These guys are saying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And I was at what's the Italian joint here? It's really popular. The pizza place. The pizza place that's really popular here in Phoenix. Oregano's.
Oregano's.
You know, you walk into Oregano's and it has that like 1940s, 1950s.
Yeah, like
music playing.
Uh huh. Like the Pixar movie type music. What's him call it? Go ahead though.
Yeah. And I was jamming out to that. I was just like, you know, just bopping my head to that Shadrach, Meshach. Hey, here's some more show notes for you guys. Anyway, let's stop with the talking so we don't have to show note it up like crazy.
Show notes. Also, listeners, last thing I'm going to say is, here's a question for you. We may have to put a poll. How much do you guys care about show notes? I mean, I know we got to put links. We got to put links like all the pictures we talked about at Disney Studios or whatever. For Ralph McQuarrie, we got to put those links in there for you guys so you can just easily find them. But as far as like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Billy Goat's Gruff, all those, you don't need links to that, do you? Let us know.
And the Billy Goat's Gruff.
Hey, man, we're going to... A Madea movie. Go ahead, though.
The Billy Goat's Gruff. So there's going to be one listener. We get zero voicemails, by the way, everybody, just so you know.
We don't need voicemails. Hit us up on gxr.com. Nope. That's genxreverb.com. Is that what you're talking about? Or we want to hear their voice on the air.
Bro, let's put that out there right now. Who would like to be the very first person to ever be on the Gen X Reverb podcast as a phone call in to give a shout out to like a Star Wars. Give us your thoughts on Star Wars. How about we just say that? This is a call to you listeners out there. What do you think? You've heard us bloviate about episodes 1 through 9 for many episodes. Now it's your turn to tell us what you think about episodes 1 through 9. If you like episode 8, like Bradley, don't call in. Please do not call in. But if you like, no, I'm kidding.
Sir, we're actually, I don't know how we're getting this, but because the show is not live, I'm not understanding. But right now we're getting a message on the website from Bruce Carey. It's Bruce Carey. He wants to know. But yeah. Are you saying that you want the listeners to leave their actual voice, Mel, or that they want to invite him onto the show? Invite him on. Yeah,
no, we're not gonna invite them onto the show. That the logistics of that is the logistics of that is pretty hard at this point for us.
Yeah.
But we would be happy to play your voicemails. Feel free to send them in to genxreverb.com. You can just use your phone to do a voice message and then just email it to genxreverb@gmail.com. And make them positive in a good light. Let me redact that. If you want to bag on those movies, if you want to take them out, go ahead.
Just don't bag on us. We're not putting that on the
air. That's really what I was trying to say. That's what I was going to say, because that's like a lot of the podcasts I listen to. It's like none of the voicemails that where they're just like confrontational or anything, none of those ever make the air. So anyway, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And I think that would definitely help our podcast. So you'd be helping us. And maybe in the future, that could be helping you.
Yes,
never know.
You may win a $951 poster, a reproduction of a Ralph McQuarrie painting, if I can convince the other Gen Xers to put their dietaries, their Republic credits, their Beskar into the pot. No, I don't think we'll ever
get that. Dietaries. Dietaries. Is that from?
I think that's from episode 1.
Dietarian.
Yeah. I forgot what he
Watto.
Said. Watto.
Yeah, Watto. Him Watto was Qui-Gon. A dietarian.
No, he was okay. A Tritarian. He was a Trinitarian.
Tritarian.
He was a Trinitarian from the South, actually.
Trinitarian from the Bible, Bell. I'm going to drink some lemonade now first before we get to talking. Okay, man, you took us for a not just a left turn. You did a whole U-turn on that, man. We're going.
You could hear the DeLorean on that one, man. We went into three different universes.
Hey, guys, we're going to end this episode. Go ahead, Bradley, end it for us.
I'm just going to go ahead and end this right now. Yeah. Thanks for listening to us. This is Bradley and Justin with GenXReverb.com. GenXReverb, please go to GenXReverb.com. Check us out. Got all our stuff on there, links and whatnot. If you just want to get to the nitty gritty and just hit us up on Facebook.com/GenXReverb, let us know what you want to hear. And we will talk about it, as Bruce and Ashley Wilson of Kendall Bard Studio are well aware. Anyway, we're taking it out.
Excellent.
Here.
Excellent. Shout out, bro.
Yes, Kendall Bard Studio.
Dude, I need
Studio.
To put a guitar in there, man, after I said excellent. Excellent.
Bill and Ted's. Bro. Okay, so that's us, man. That's today here. I was going to say Friday, but it's Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. Me and Justin having a good time talking about everything. Let us know what you guys think. Please. Buy some t-shirts at GenXReverb.com. Peace.